From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later tonight, the Havana Syndrome and American Hauntings. Happy birthday, by the way, to Coast listener Jeremy from North Dakota, a severe car accident and coma survivor. Have a great birthday, Jeremy. Here's what's happening. Well, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention urges against travel to Israel, France, and other nations. Why? COVID-19 and Delta's variants, they say it's spreading again. Governor Greg Abbott of Texas has appealed for out-of-state help now to fight the third wave of COVID-19 in his state. The request came as a county-owned hospital in Houston raised tents to accommodate their COVID-19 overflow. Private hospitals in the county already were requiring their staff to be vaccinated against the coronavirus. Meantime, the Dallas School District has announced that it would require students and staff to wear face masks starting tomorrow. The Houston School District already announced a mask mandate for its students and staff later this week if the board approves it. The United States said that it was up to Afghan security forces to defend the country after Taliban militants captured a sixth capital there, along with border towns and trade routes. President Joseph Biden has said the U.S. military mission in Afghanistan will end the end of August, arguing that the Afghan people must decide their own future and that he would not consign another generation of Americans to the 20-year war. The Taliban is taking cities left and right. While China's expanding military actions toward Taiwan have elevated concern among the United States and its allies that Beijing could be on the verge of using force against the island democracy, which China considers to be an integral part of its sovereign territory. Keep your eyes on that story. According to a report in a new research paper, Google scientists claim to have used a quantum processor for a useful scientific application to observe a genuine time crystal. If a time crystal sounds pretty sci-fi, that's because they are. Time crystals are no less than a new phase of matter, as researchers put it, which has been theorized for some years now as a new state that could potentially join the ranks of solids, liquids, gases, crystals, and so on. Lauren Weinstein, our expert on the Internet. Lauren, what's this all mean?
In the many years you and I have been chatting, this is one of the strangest kind of weird science topics ever. And I'm going to point out right now, I am not a quantum physicist, but I'll attempt to give some idea of what this is about.
Okay.
All right. The second law of thermodynamics essentially says that as energy is transferred or transformed in an isolated system, more and more energy is wasted, driving systems in only one direction toward increasing disorder, chaos, and entropy. That's the so-called one-way arrow of time. If you pour some cream into a cup of coffee, it will dissipate through the coffee. You don't expect it to ever reform into a dense puddle in the middle of the surface again. Now, back in 2012, it was speculated that there could be what were termed quantum time crystals that would not follow the second law of thermodynamics as normally expected. And that would be effectively, as you mentioned, a new phase of matter. And at that point, and in the years following, there have been a lot of arguments and experiments relating to this. The big deal now is that Google used their quantum processor, which happens to be named Sycamore, by the way, and it uses quantum bits, qubits, rather than conventional bits. And for reasons I definitely don't have time to get into right now, it operates in scales in ways that make it very, very fast at certain types of calculations. So using all this computational power, Google created a system, the quantum time crystal, that rather than just going from order to disorder, that is, toward more and more randomness, will, after a number of cycles, return to an ordered configuration similar to its original state. And Google did this in a repeatable fashion at a much larger scale than earlier experiments. In other words, the thermodynamic arrow of time appears to reverse something the second law of thermodynamics says shouldn't happen. Now, the Google paper on this hasn't been peer-reviewed yet. The work will need to be replicated, but there's a great deal of excitement in the physics community about the prospects. That's probably about as far as I can go about this for the time we have, given my level of understanding, except to answer one obvious question. Does this have any practical application?
That was my question.
And the answer is nobody knows yet. It may not. But either way, it's fascinating work and a great example of how science marches forward in interesting ways that can be very difficult to anticipate.
It does. Lauren, we'll talk to you next week. Sad story for the world of ufology. Former Canadian Minister of Defense and past Coast to Coast guest Paul Hellyer has passed away at the age of 98. Hellyer was also a member of the Canadian Parliament for several years and served in various government roles for almost 40 years. He served as defense minister from 63 to 67. He became well known in the UFO research community back in 2005 when he told an audience at the Toronto Symposium on UFO Disclosure and Planetary Directions at the University of Toronto's Hall that UFOs are as real as the airplanes that fly over your head. He will be missed. Paul Hellyer, dead at the age of 98. Dr. Sky's with us, Stephen Cates, for his weekly report on strange things. What do you got for us today, Stephen?
Well, hello, George. We begin with space, and we're talking about another asteroid mission in 2022. And this has the potential to make a lot of billionaires and trillionaires out there if a metal asteroid could actually be mined for its valuable contents. We welcome in a story of Psyche 16, the asteroid named for the Greek goddess of the soul and wife of Eros, the Roman god of love. But George, Psyche 16 was discovered back in 1852. It's a 124-mile in diameter rock, probably made up of lots of valuable metallic stuff, of course. And the bean counters say it could be worth more than $10,000 quadrillion. That's pretty much above my head. Psyche may be mostly made of nickel and iron, but other valuable items may lurk beneath the surface, like precious gems and maybe even diamonds, too. The Psyche spacecraft will be launched in 2022 and arrive at the asteroid in 2026. And for those for a more technical response on this is an M-type asteroid due to its high metallic content. The asteroid may actually be the core of a long-dormant planet in space. Stay tuned, because this story, I'm sure, will unfold. But we talk about astronomy here. We talk about solar activity, George. July of 2021 was the most interesting month for the study of the current solar cycle 25. July gave us the first X-ray flare, as many know, from the new sunspot cycle, along with a total of six sunspot groups on the sun in July. This hasn't happened since September of 2017. But the first major CME occurred on the far side of the sun, actually affecting the Earth. This is called a rare halo CME. From the far side of the sun, it actually affected the Earth. It wasn't headed toward us, but somehow it affected us. It was probably from a sunspot group called AR, Active Region 2838, the one that caused the first X-ray flare of cycle 25. But this is interesting. We're talking about the solar max. Helioseismologists and scientists say that the max of this solar cycle, 25, should occur in July of 2025. Now they're saying it may occur as early as October, that is, of 2024. But going back in the time capsule, here's something interesting, too, about the power of solar flares. On August 2nd, 1972, a massive solar flare helped detonate Navy sea mines off of North Vietnam, just to illustrate the power of the sun. We end off with the live sky. Obviously, this is the Perseid watch. This is the Perseid week. The new moon's there now. No moonlight to interfere with your Perseid watch. Activity should ramp up and peak on Wednesday night into Thursday morning. If you're out there now looking, of course, and have a clear sky, lucky you, because the moon will start to get a little bit more brilliant as the week goes on. But look in the northeast sky after midnight till dawn, as the radiant then rises higher. The moon and Venus are close on Wednesday night in the northwest if you're waiting for meteors. And still, while waiting for meteors, look to the southeast sky at 10 p.m. for a great view as we talk about Saturn and Jupiter are quite magnificent. To learn more, we always recommend theskylive.com. Emails are always welcome. We appreciate that at drskyshow@gmail.com. What, George, simply, always remember to keep your eyes to the skies, as I'm your navigator on the highway to the heavens. Thank you.
Great material. Dr. Sky, great material. Up next, through the eyes of an astrologer, we'll look at trends for the rest of this year and beyond on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Let me tell you a little bit about our guest, William Stickover, is back with us with a broad scope of political, economic, psychological, spiritual, and metaphysical knowledge. William systematically explores possibilities about the future and how they can emerge from the present by weaving current secular trends, geopolitical factors as well. He's a counseling astrologer. He's been doing this since 1988. well-versed in psychological, electional, medieval, and Renaissance branches of astrology. We'll take readings next hour. We'll tell you a little bit about that. William, welcome back, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great, George. Thanks for having me on the show again. I'm really looking forward to our discussion tonight.
Great timing, too, to come back on, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot going on. It's getting crazier and crazier, just as we discussed back in March.
I've got 1,000 things to talk with you about, but first of all, here we are in August, rolling into September. It's several weeks. How does the rest of the year look like through your eyes?
Well, you know, I think we are in the great unwinding. There's a number of developments occurring astrologically and secularly in terms of various different cycles that are happening. You know, since the 2008 financial crisis, we have been in a state of geopolitical and economic upheaval, right? And this continues to accelerate and intensify, especially now triggered with this COVID-19 pandemic that's being extended and also amplified by this pervasive distrust of institutions and leadership worldwide. And many people feel excluded from the political bias in the mainstream media and frustrated by the increasing dissemination of fake news that has really split the national consensus, creating a schism, if you will. And all of this has very much to do with this Saturn-Uranus square alignment that's been in effect since the beginning of the year and will continue well into early next year.
When you were with me back in March, we were just really getting into the COVID situation. It doesn't seem to be getting any better, William.
No, it's not. And, you know, that's part of what's creating this schism. That's really one of the triggers that's going to set off what I believe is societal unrest that could lead to social or possibly political revolution between now and 2025. You know, I mean, there's a number of things triggering this, but like what is happening right now essentially is that you have Fauci, Biden, and the CDC turning America into a bifurcated society of vaxxed and unvaxxed people, where the unvaccinated are being denied now the opportunity to work, to attend college, mm-hmm. to go to school, to go out shopping, to go to a show, to go to a sporting event, and so on. And this is how crazy it's going to get, and it's not going to let up from what I can see.
Why are they so insistent on getting vaccinations for everybody?
Well, yeah, I mean, I believe this is part of their plan for social control. They need to implement a social control mechanism because I believe this is all leading up to the Great Reset that they're going to begin to roll out in 2022. So I believe that's really part of it.
I mean, it seems like the United States over the past several years hasn't had any breath to sit back and relax. I mean, we just seem to be having problems after problems after problems.
Yeah, a lot of that has to do, George, with the fact that we are going through a number of converging crises. We have the fourth turning of America. This is the fourth one. The last type of fourth turning cycle we were in was during the Great Depression and World War II. We are now in another fourth turning cycle, which occurs approximately every 84 to 92 years. In fact, if you look at the webpage, we put it up there for the Coast listeners, we have three planetary cycles converging. The last time they all converged together, we had the American Revolution, the First Industrial Revolution, the emergence of the centralized financial system with central banks, etc., right? Then if you go fast forward 248 years, when you see all of these planets converging again, at the time when the United States is going through its Pluto return, we're seeing the emergence of the fourth industrial revolution with AI, smart robotics, and all these other disruptive technologies, climate change, the fourth turning crisis. We see the U.S.-China Thucydides trap. We've seen the late stage of the debt supercycle come to a peak. And we're seeing the emergence of decentralized financial system with the rise of Bitcoin and Ethereum.
We're going to get into this in a second with you, William, but I had a news story about China where experts are concerned they may try to take Taiwan, something I've been warning about for several years now. Lo and behold, you've been looking at this too.
Absolutely. I've been talking about this since 2019. I believe we're moving closer and closer to a high-intensity conflict with China. It's not going to take place in 2030. It's going to happen, if it's going to happen, a Cuban Missile Crisis scenario between now and 2023 to 2025, when the Barbell Planetary Cyclic Index hits an all-time bottom. And I posted that again for all the Coast listeners. If they look at the Planetary Cyclic Index of World Events, that index has been dropping since 2014 when Russia annexed Crimea. And it's making a 532-degree point drop. It will hit bottom at its nadir in November of 2022 and remain there through 2023, 2024, and 2025. And since we've had that, the conditions, global economic geopolitical conditions have been deteriorating. We had a currency war with China at the onset in 2014 that resulted into a technology war. We have a trade war, right? We have a Cold War escalation with them over Taiwan, along with what's happening now with the Ukraine, right, where we have massive Russian troops still on the border of the Ukraine. So this is all, and they are now working together. They're going to be doing the largest joint military operation exercise come mid-August. This is all in preparation for something else. It's very clear to me. So, we're seeing now that Taiwan is prepping. Taiwan has made it very clear that they are prepping for a land invasion of Chinese forces. So this is not something theoretical anymore. It is real, and preparations and policy changes are being put in place. In fact, Biden has deployed, he continued with the Trump policy of deploying more forces, not only in the Asian Pacific area, right, but he's also now selling state-of-the-art weapon systems to Taiwan, right? So this is really... this is a real big game changer. And so I just think that we're going to see more escalation over this matter. And this all connects, by the way, this all connects to this like 1967 eclipse, because in 1967 mm-hmm. eclipse, what did we see with China, right? We saw them drop their first hydrogen bomb. We saw the Soviet troops on their border. We saw a major crackdown in Hong Kong. And then this 1967 eclipse is very connected to the June and December 2021 eclipse. So we're going to see a recapitulation of all of these themes, but much more escalated this time.
Interesting. Let's talk a little bit about the economy, because a lot of people are concerned about that for themselves. How does it look for the rest of the year?
Well, you know, here's the thing. I mean, the argument being made by many by the mainstream financial media is that, you know, stocks are an all-time high. They keep breaking records every other day. Home prices are at an all-time high. Income levels are at an all-time high. Job openings are at an all-time high. U.S. car inflation is transitory. In other words, yeah, there is inflation, but it's transitory. We're going to keep interest rates down, at least through 2023. We're going to inject more trillions, buy back more bonds, boost asset prices, etc. However, the Saturn-Uranus, right, when we have Saturn-Uranus alignments occurring at the end of a long bull market cycle, right, investors historically become willfully blind to the underlying inherent risk, or rather, they commit hubris, where investors, right, investors start thinking they're smarter than the markets, where anyone can make money with these markets, right? All these Robin Hood traders, they're getting rich overnight. So this data, right, this disturbing data, that, right, growing geopolitical risk, failure with fiscal policy, you know, all this money they're injecting is not trickling down, excessive valuations that exceed earning growth expectations, record levels of private and public debt, right, exceptionally low junk bond yields. All of this is being ignored by the financial industry, by investors, and the Saturn-Uranus alignment indicates that the so-called financial or artificial sense of stability actually is breeding instability. So stability, or so-called stability, is breeding instability because it itself is destabilizing at the end of a long bull market cycle. So we are in a period of where massive bullish speculation is going to accelerate the probability of crisis. So this is the big issue.
William, hang on. We're at the top, bottom of the hour. We're going to come back in a moment after this break and talk more. William Stickevers with us, the astrologer on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. We're going to take calls next hour with William Stickevers. As a matter of fact, he'll do some slight readings. We'll tell you a little bit later on what to expect and the kind of questions that we will need you to ask. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. William Stickevers with us. His website linked up at coasttocoastam.com, and he also provided us some material that Lexis posted at coasttocoastam.com. William, before we get really rolling, would you give us your definition of astrology and why it works?
Yeah, that's a real tough one, George. It's like a physicist trying to explain gravity and how it works. It's not so easy to do, but I'll give it my best shot here. So, essentially, from my viewpoint, astrology is based on an ancient premise that the cosmos is pervasively informed through the active presence of an invisible ordering principle that operates throughout the underlying matrix of all creation. And this ordering principle of the cosmos is at once mathematical and archetypal in manifestation. So as an archetype or archetypal, right, so planets and stars and zodiacs operate as cosmological archetypal agents that act as organizing principles of both psyche and the cosmos that represent both the deepest pattern of psychic functioning and determine how our reality is perceived, created, interpreted, invested with meaning, and experienced.
Interesting take. Now, how did you get so involved in financial astrology?
Well, you know, back in the day, George, I was primarily a psychological astrologer in terms of my training. And I had a number of clients back in 2006 who were giving me a number of horror stories about what was happening with their homes, with the finances, with the markets. And I was just, you know, it was just going very contrary to what I was watching on TV or the news I was listening to. So I really was initiated into financial astrology when I looked into it deeper and I realized that I wasn't able really to help my clients based on my consensus mainstream understanding, where the astrology was showing something quite different than what I was hearing. So I had to take the deep dive and learn financial astrology, geopolitical astrology, what is called mundane astrology, in order to then help guide my clients make very important strategic decisions mm-hmm. to help preserve their wealth during the crisis.
I was going to say, can astrology give somebody an upper hand? And I assume it can.
Absolutely, George. I mean, that's the real reason to do it. You know, most people are not aware of the secular and astrological cycles that are operative, but feel a collective angst driven by a multitude of intractable problems and conflicts that continue to escalate and intensify. And we could all see that happening now on the news, on TV, on the internet. So with astrology, we can find clarity with a high level perspective on global events, on what's happening and how these global events are having direct impact on us. And through the powerful lens of astrology, particularly mundane astrology with an archetypal worldview, we can make much more informed choices and be able to navigate a very tumultuous, uncertain period while the world goes through this paradigm shift and global transformation.
What is your take on Bitcoin, astrologically speaking?
I think I've been involved with Bitcoin since 2010, right? Bitcoin's been around since January 2009. So I was probably, arguably, I would say at this point, probably the first astrologer, financial astrologer in the world, because I was in the tech world for over 20 years, right, along with doing astrology. So I got early into this. And it became very clear to me that when Bitcoin came out, It was part of this Saturn-Uranus complex, this Saturn-Uranus cycle that was operative, and now we're going into the next phase of the Saturn-Uranus cycle. So what does that mean? That means essentially that I think holding Bitcoin for the long term is the highest upside, lowest risk financial strategy. Let me repeat that. That Bitcoin, based on the astrology, right, is the highest upside, lowest risk strategy one can pursue at this time, right? I believe it will provide, it provides diversification, right? Meaning that if you buy, you know, if you buy some other type of stock or equity, I think holding Bitcoin, right, you are even more diversified because you can see Bitcoin sitting on the balance sheets of cities, governments, corporations, institutions, even Wall Street. You have to realize, back in 2017, 2018, when we first talked about Bitcoin, right, 87% of investors were retail investors, people like you and me. Today, 87% of investors are Wall Street institutional investors. They are what they call Bitcoin whales, millionaires, billionaires. You have publicly traded companies investing tremendous amounts of assets into Bitcoin. And so economically speaking, you know, I think Bitcoin, based on the Saturn-Uranus alignment and the fact that it's occurring, it has actually occurred, it grew out of the financial crisis of 2008-2009, is the best way to make a world a better place. Because it can get 7.8 billion people, right, around the world who are basically working in currencies that are weakening, right? And even the best one in the world, the U.S. dollar, is weakening at 20% a year, all right, in terms of the inflation. Right, you're losing 4 to 5% a month in purchasing power with the U.S. dollar if you keep your money in dollars. Right, so it's the best thing in the world, and this is one of the things. This is really, in my opinion, right, this is an open monetary network, and this will likely go, based on what I see, to all 7.8 billion people and provide them with a store of value and a strong financial asset that will carry, that they'll carry on their mobile phones. Right.
Yeah.
This is going to do much more good to the human race than anything else I can think of at the moment.
Interesting. What about digital currency doing away with real money?
Well, you know, that's what the Fed is moving towards. Now, it goes to this debt super cycle, and I'll be very brief with it. But we have to realize that this debt super cycle is something that all financial analysts, economists, hedge fund people like Ray Dalio have been talking about. Right, and we are in a position now similar to the debt, the depression era environment of the late 30s and early 40s, with the confluence of ineffective central banks, deflation, high levels of debt, growing risk in markets, and this brewing U.S.-China conflict over trade in Taiwan. Right, so the issue has to do with the fact that we have all this debt, and historically, at the very end of this debt super cycle, we've had global financial resets like we had in between 1933 and 1944, right? All right, we had that one. We had it back from 1857 to 1865. We had a global financial reset. People forget that. So the solution to the problem is when you reset the system, which all the central banks are now talking about, right? They're now talking about moving, particularly the Fed, to a central bank digital currency to reset the system that allows faster transaction speed, borderless payments, lower fees, and most importantly, programmable money, right? And this is the big plan. And look, and what they plan to do, they plan to use this programmable money to power the decentralized applications that are now being built out on a decentralized financial system, because the Fed knows that the decentralized financial system, which is called DeFi in the crypto world, is growing at an exponential rate, and it is threatening now the central bank fiat currency central bank model that was developed going back into the late 1780s.
Scientists are screaming that we need to get away from fossil fuels almost immediately. I don't see how that can happen in order to save and preserve the planet. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't see that happening fast enough. That's the problem. We still use fossil fuels to make all those lithium batteries and Tesla vehicles, right? However, that being said, there's going to be tremendous advances, and this has to do with a number of these alignments. We've had this Jupiter-Saturn-Pluto triple alignment in Aquarius. The last time we saw that was at the time of the Scientific Revolution, and the Renaissance. We're seeing it happen now. We're seeing the fourth industrial revolution take place. So we're transitioning away from fossil fuels to alternative energies. And what I see emerging is artificial intelligence, collaborative robots. We're going to see virtual reality, augmented reality. We're going to see green energy systems based on thorium nuclear reactors. We're going to see CRISPR DNA sequencing. We're going to see global wireless gigabit networks, not only just global wireless, wireless power networks. So we're going to see, you know, 3D printing is going to basically replace all the type of 20th century manufacturing. But the big transition, of course, is going to be going to this new energy system in order to move us from a type zero to a type one civilization.
William, when we take calls next hour, you'll do some readings. What do you need specifically from the callers?
Yeah, basically, since we don't have time to go into details, I need the caller to ask a question that can be framed in a yes or no type of way. So will I get the job? Will I get a job this time next year? Will I get a job next month? Yes or no? Should I attend school? Right? Will I get, you know, something that could be framed that way. And if the answer is yes, they'll know it's yes. If it's not, I'll do my best within a very short amount of time to
elaborate,
give them some
bit.
Strategy and give them and explain why it might, why it is no.
Interesting take. Now, you don't need their birth month or day or anything like that, do you?
No, I don't. I'm using a method called horary astrology.
What is that?
That's a method where, and that method was used primarily for a good couple thousand years because nobody knew when anyone was born, George. Only the emperor or the king.
Really?
Like, yeah.
They didn't keep records or what?
Well, people didn't have watches. People, you know, I mean, if you go back to the Roman Empire, who kept the watch and knew what time?
Or calendars. They didn't even look at them, I bet.
Right. So they had an idea, but the calendar system wasn't unified, and we certainly didn't have an accurate time down to the minute of when an event took place, right? And so what they developed, the astrologers developed, was the system when someone would ask an important question, they would then note the time of the question, and they had very specific rules, very specific system, a method of astro divination, if you will, to answer the question and to give insight with a very high degree of accuracy.
Interesting take. How did you get into this?
Well, you know, I mean, I was, again, challenged by my clients. There were certain things they would come to me, and they needed to make a yes or no decision. Should I buy the stock or not, right? It looks really good, but, you know, I could lose everything if this isn't, you know, if this isn't sound, right? Is there something I'm not seeing here? So I couldn't just look at their birth chart, right? Their birth chart or the transits to their chart, you know, may have indicated they were going to make a big gain that year, but was it the stock or something else? So that's how I was forced to learn this method. Will I get married by the end of this year? Should I, you know, should I go to school or go into the military? What's the best option for me? Right? Those type of things, horary astrology really excels at.
Who taught you, or you're self-taught?
Actually, I was taught by Alfie Lavoie, who was doing horary astrology since 1965. And he's also one of the leading astrologers for financial astrology. He develops the world's most sophisticated astrological financial software in the world. His company is Air Software. And I still use that software, and I'm still in touch with him, and he was a great teacher to me.
Your website is your name, williamstickevers.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Do you take emails through the website?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. And what do people expect to see when they go to the website?
Well, you know, right now I'm really focusing. Well, first of all, I have my blog up there, but I have a membership group. I have an online active membership, Global Transformation Astrology, and the Crypto Astrology group, right? So they can get access and take a look at what's happening there. I do very in-depth presentations 2 to 3 times a month. Also, just on that website, there's lots of resources, especially on my blog. I make lots of predictions, so there's a lot there for them to look at.
COVID going to get better or worse?
Excuse me? I think the COVID numbers in terms of hospitalization and deaths are going to continue to crash, but I believe they're going to use very punitive actions and policies. And I believe we're going to have punitive policies and and taxation as well. And, you know, George, I just want to say this in terms of the markets. We didn't get to finish that. It was just one line because we ran out of time. But with this Uranus, Saturn-Uranus alignment, historically, the last time we had Saturn-Uranus alignment was in 2008. The last time we had it before that was in 2001, right? We had the dot-com bubble, 2001. We had the financial crisis, Lehman financial crisis, 2008, 2009, Saturn-Uranus. Now we're having it now. And the key thing to remember is everything that will eventually matter between now and December will be ignored until it doesn't matter. Or actually, I should say, let me rephrase that. Everything that will eventually matter is ignored until it does matter. But by then, it's too late.
And when you say it's too late, what does that mean?
Well, generally, you can't recoup the losses. You know, generally, by the time you realize that the markets, right?
So it's over.
You can't short the markets, right? You can't reverse your losses. Generally, the news that you're getting is going to mislead you, right? Or the bad news that you're getting is the news that you're ignoring.
Interesting take on this. And with astrology, are they things that will be or could be?
I believe that we're dealing with probability. So it's things that will likely be. Astrology implies, right? It implies probability, probable scenarios. And we do have free will. We do have free will. We can avert. We can mitigate. Sometimes we can avert. Not always. But we can certainly mitigate problematic events. We can turn things around. We can take advantage of certain periods. That's really the gift of astrology, right? Like just knowing with Saturn Uranus that everything that will eventually matter is going to be ignored until it does matter, right? Gives people pause about, you know, using 2-to-1 leverage on the stock market.
That's right. Hold on, William. We're coming back to take calls with you next. And what he needs is a question that he can say yes or no to.